Today is Thursday, December 19th. We're breaking down what happened and what happens next now that President Trump has officially been impeached, and what to know about tonight's presidential debate. Plus, a big deal in the auto industry, why big tech companies are teaming up, and the research that might surprise you about blue light before bed. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Know Thursday's bonus interview about the best good news of 2019. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. It happened. President Trump has been impeached. The Washington Post reports after 12 hours of debate yesterday, the House voted down party lines to impeach him for abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. This is historic. Trump is only the third president in U.S. history to be impeached. The others were Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton. This time around, most Democrats who have the majority in the House voted for impeachment, and every single Republican voted against it. As the votes were coming in last night, President Trump was holding a rally in Michigan. The AP reports he told his supporters, quote, "It really doesn't feel like we're being impeached." He said he's not worried and claimed this was all lawless and partisan. Remember, President Trump says he did nothing wrong when he asked Ukraine to investigate his political rivals. He said that and withholding millions of dollars in military aid was over concerns about overall corruption in Ukraine. But Democrats say he tried to pressure a foreign government to interfere in the U.S. election, not to weed out corruption, not to help the U.S., but to help himself and his political aspirations. Either way, President Trump is now impeached, but the story is far from over. The Senate will now hold a trial, probably next month, to decide if he should be removed from office. That's unlikely, though, because Republicans control the Senate and they've already lined up to defend him. Keep in mind, no U.S. president has ever been removed from office that way. Even Richard Nixon resigned before that could happen. So how does the American public feel about what should happen this time? They're apparently split. The latest CBS News poll shows 42% of Americans want Trump convicted and removed from office, while another 42% say the president is innocent or that a trial should not happen at all. And 16% said it's too soon to say. More to come in the weeks ahead. The sixth Democratic presidential debate is happening tonight, right on the heels of yesterday's impeachment vote. Politico reports seven Democrats who are hoping to become the Democratic nominee and then president will take the stage in Los Angeles. Some things to keep an eye on. While Vox says the three frontrunners haven't changed all that much in the polls, Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders, PBS reports Mayor Pete Buttigieg has taken off in the polls since last month. He's now near the top of the pack in key states, so he'll be showing up tonight as one of the frontrunners for the first time this primary season. Bernie Sanders is also picking up more momentum in some important primary states like Iowa and New Hampshire. Remember, he had a heart attack back in October and had to take a bit of time off, but he's back, and polls show he's gaining ground. Meanwhile, some of the candidates who are not polling as well, like Amy Klobuchar, Andrew Yang, and Tom Steyer, have a big opportunity tonight. It's the smallest group so far, with only seven candidates who qualified for this debate, so they'll each get more time to try and stand out. Tonight's debate starts at 5 p.m. Pacific time or 8 o'clock Eastern, then there will be four more debates by the end of February. A big setback for the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. A federal appeals court ruled yesterday the government cannot penalize people for not having insurance. The Wall Street Journal reports the court said it was unconstitutional to require that people carry insurance, which is a key feature of the law. CNN reports this does not invalidate Obamacare as a whole. Instead, the appeals court sent the case back to a lower court to see if other parts of the law could still stand. Despite the ruling, people who are insured through Obamacare will not be affected, at least for now. There won't be any changes until the legal battle fully makes its way through the courts. And in other health-related news, the Trump administration is moving forward with plans to allow states to import prescription drugs from Canada for the first time. The New York Times says the hope is that this will help lower drug prices for expensive meds treating diseases like HIV and multiple sclerosis. But some drugs would not make the cut due to some other laws, like insulin, for example, could not be imported. Get this, both Republicans and Democrats want to see this happen. Pharmaceutical companies, though, do not. They argue the imported drugs might not be safe. Either way, don't expect this to impact prices soon. States would still have to submit proposals to get permission to import the medication, so there's a long way to go. It is hot in Australia. The country saw its hottest day on record this week, and temps are expected to keep climbing. USA Today reports it was 105 degrees there on Tuesday, beating the hottest day on record from 2013 of 104 degrees. Forecasters expect the most intense heat will come later this week, meaning that record could be broken again. And this is all happening as the nation battles a severe drought and fires. The Weather Channel reports a total fire ban has already been issued in parts of Australia, and emergency crews are on high alert. It's official. Two auto giants, Fiat Chrysler and Peugeot, plan to merge, making the fourth largest car maker in the world. NPR reports the new company, which doesn't have a name just yet, will be led by Peugeot's CEO and will bring in about $189 billion a year in revenue. Together, they plan to sell more than 8 million cars a year with brands like Dodge, Jeep, and Maserati. While the two companies have agreed on this, they still have to win over regulators before it's fully finalized. All right, we have more news ahead, but first, let's take a quick break to thank today's sponsor for making the Newsworthy possible. Native is all about safe, simple, effective products you use every day. I especially love Native deodorant. It's formulated with ingredients found in nature and without aluminum and parabens. I've actually tried a few other natural deodorants before this, but Native is the only one that works well for me. In fact, Native sent me the first one I tried, but I've since ordered more with my own money. And I'm not alone. Native has more than 9,000 five-star reviews. I especially like the most popular scent, coconut and vanilla, but I do want to try more. They have a wide variety of scents to choose from for both men and women. There are even limited edition seasonal scents and formulas for those with sensitivities. Plus, if you want to try it out, there are free returns in the U.S. And right now, you can get 20% off your first purchase when you go to nativedeodorant.com and use the promo code NEWSWORTHY at checkout. Again, go to nativedeodorant.com and use the code NEWSWORTHY for 20% off your first purchase. Now, back to the news. Several big tech companies are joining forces in a rare partnership to make all of their different smart home devices work better together. Google, Amazon, and Apple are leading the way for Project Connected Home over IP. It will work to create a new standard so all the different devices can talk to each other. Business Insider says it basically means smart home products like smart lights, thermostats, and other home electronics will be able to easily hook up to all of your smart speakers, like the Amazon Echo, Apple's HomePod, and Google Home, which should then make it easier for hardware makers to build devices that work with the different voice assistants like Alexa and Siri. Still with me? This is mostly about connectivity, so in other words, don't expect to be able to use Siri, Apple's voice assistant, on an Amazon Echo device. Speaking of Amazon, it's expanding its free return policy just in time for the holidays. CNN says millions of items will have a free return option as long as they're sold and fulfilled by Amazon and weigh less than 50 pounds. So that includes some electronics, kitchen appliances, and household items. Before this, you could only return things like clothes and bedding for free. For the holiday season, Amazon will accept returns for items bought between November 1st and December 31st, and returns will have to be completed by the end of January. After the holidays, Amazon customers will only have 30 days from the delivery date to claim a free return. For the first time, Instagram is limiting what influencers can post on their feeds, at least when it's paid for. Engadget says they'll no longer be able to promote vaping, tobacco products, or weapons. Instagram already banned more traditional ads with those products, but private users with a lot of followers could still be paid to post about these products. So as a loophole, advertisers would pay those influencers to promote their products. Well, that's no longer allowed. Both Instagram and Facebook will start to enforce the new influencer rules in the coming weeks. So you've probably heard that blue light from smartphones can keep you awake at night. But some scientists aren't so sure. They say blue light filters could actually be worse. Researchers at the University of Manchester found dim, cooler-colored lights at night and bright, warmer colors in the day could be better for our health. The study says warm yellow lights, like what you get when you filter out the blue, can trick the brain into thinking it's daytime, so your body might not think it's time to go to bed, while the blue colors, like what your phone emits, are associated with twilight, which could have a weaker effect on keeping you up. All of that said, this theory has only been tested on mice so far, and while it could be the same for humans, we don't know yet. And past studies have linked blue light to changing your sleep patterns. So at this point, experts say it's still probably best to just not use your phone before bed. And that's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know only on Thursdays after the news. And today we're talking about the best good news of 2019. Yes, the positive stuff that keeps us believing in humanity. We always try to bring you a dose of good or fun news here on The Newsworthy, but my guest today is a storyteller focused only on the good in the world. Brandon Harvey is a returning guest here. He's the creator of The Good Newspaper and the host of the Sounds Good podcast. He's built an online community of more than 250,000 people and has helped brands like Disney, Southwest Airlines, and more tell more meaningful stories with heart. So here's my conversation with Brandon Harvey. Hi, Brandon. Thanks so much for coming back on The Newsworthy.
I am so happy to be here again. Thanks so much for having me.
So before we dive into the best good news of 2019, why do you think we don't see more good news stories throughout traditional media sources on a daily basis?
Yeah, well, I think one thing is that good news happens all day, every day. There's so much good news. The kind of cliched example is that hundreds of planes take off every single day and they all land safely every single day. And so, of course, the news isn't that those planes land every single day. It's that one doesn't land because it's the anomaly. And so news is ultimately the bad news anomalies because there is so much good that happens every single day. I think that that's a big part of it. The other part is that our brains actually have an internal negativity bias. Neuroscience has found that bad news sticks to our brains like Velcro and good news slides right off our brains like Teflon. And so sometimes media companies know this and they lean into this. And other times it's, you know, the reality is there's a lot of great news organizations who do share a lot of good news, but because it doesn't stick to our brains as easily, we forget or it doesn't stick as well as the bad news.
So let's make sure that we are talking about good news and talk about some of the best good news stories of 2019. What would you say were the most popular or, in your opinion, the best ones?
Yes. So I was looking through all the data for the good news we shared in our newsletter, our newspaper, and on social media in 2019. And I came up with a list of all of our most popular, most engaging stories. But I wanted to break it down into three sections because there's three main kinds of stories we share at Good Good Good. The first is good news in data, just the evidence that when you look at the grand arc of history, there are so many positive trends moving towards good. So from our newest issue of the Good Newspaper, there's new data out that says that deaths from terrorism were found to have decreased by 15% this year. And they've halved in the last 4 years, which is amazing. Between 2017 and 2018, especially, there were 3,217 fewer deaths in Iraq since the peak of violence in 2014. And deaths from terrorism have plummeted 90%. In Somalia, they also experienced a huge, significant decrease in deaths. And so, you know, of course, terrorism is still absolutely heartbreaking. Those numbers should be zero. But as much as, you know, we've experienced what feels like a growth of terrorism over the last few years, we are affected almost the least of kind of all of the regions of the world. And so seeing this incredible hope for people who live in places like Iraq and Somalia is really, really encouraging.
And so your second one is about helpers. Tell me more.
I don't know if you saw the new Mr. Rogers movie, but he is a hero of ours at Good Good Good. And he has this quote where he says, when I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, look for the helpers. You'll always find people who are helping. And so that's what we're leaning into here. We're looking for people who, in the midst of bad news, in the midst of something that's wrong in the world, there are people showing up to solve that problem. And so this story is, I love it. It makes me so happy. 633 divers simultaneously picked up litter from the seafloor in Florida and set a Guinness World Record in the process. They picked up thousands of pounds of trash, and it also just looked like it was a really good time. And so it's really fun to see all these people with this niche hobby and interest of diving come together to solve the problem that is trash in the ocean. the thing that I love the most about this is actually, apparently, there was a previous record for this that they had broken. The previous record for the most divers taking part in an underwater cleanup was 614 divers in Egypt, in the Red Sea in 2015. And I'm kind of just hoping that this leads to a friendly competition among the diving community to continue to do more good in more communities.
And it's a reminder that we can all take part, you know, when we see litter around by just picking up some.
Yeah, you don't have to break a world record to do good.
I love it. And so, third one.
Okay, so innovation for a better tomorrow. I love thinking about people who are using their creativity, their brilliant minds to create something new that's going to affect people positively. And I think that the ultimate example of this is this organization called New Story. They're based in the Bay Area, and they are on the forefront of innovation when it comes to 3D printing. And they are using their technology to 3D print homes for families in need of shelter. And this absolutely changes the game. These 3D printed homes have faster construction time. There's more design flexibility for 3D printing homes in different regions and different communities, and they are long lasting and durable. This year, the really good news story is that they built their very first ever neighborhood of 3D printed homes in a rural area in Mexico in a seismic zone. And this is going to allow for families to upgrade from living in a shack to a two-bedroom house.
I love this story as well. We've talked about the development of it and the use of 3D printing for these homes a couple of times on the Newsworthy. And then I saw in your newsletter that the full neighborhood is now built out. So I was so happy to see that and hear that the progress has continued to be made. I want to wrap things up letting people know why it's so important for all of us to remember and pay attention to good news and how we can make sure that we're getting more of a variety of news in our lives.
Ultimately, when we see examples of other people doing good, it's a reminder that it's not that hard for us to step up and join in as well. It's not beyond our abilities to get involved and make a difference in our communities or with the things that break our hearts. And so pay attention to organizations who are doing amazing things. You know, pay attention to the stories that are most frustrating to you or feel the most overwhelming to you. And then ask yourself, where are the helpers? You know, like Mr. Rogers' mom said, there will always be people who are helping. And so seek them out.
And be sure to share this episode today to help spread the word that not all news is bad news. And you can get even more good news from Brandon at goodgoodgood.co. You'll find a link to that, the good news mentioned, and all the stories we talked about today in today's show notes. Just go to thenewsworthy.com/show notes and find today's date. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you to the Newsworthy Insiders for all of your support. I so appreciate it. The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 a.m. every weekday. We'll chat again tomorrow. Have a great day.